Hello and welcome everyone at FOSDEM 2026. Today we talk about Guile and tooling and some development practices. So this talk is targeted against newcomers who want to start with Guile or already experienced people who want to have more fun with Guile. And the goal is to getting as much fun as possible from programming in Guile language. And for this, we will be discussing different practices, and also we'll be using some tools which have two properties. They are reliable and they are interactive. And talking about interactive, you not only can interact with them, but they also fast. There's some research talking about the tools that when you interact with something, with some program, and it replies under 100 milliseconds, it feels like instant response, and you feel like engaged. If it takes a bit more time, it feels sluggish. If it takes more than 1 second, you're already distracted, but still can keep focus. And above 10 seconds, you're switching your context, and you lost forever. So we try to be in the first category under 100 milliseconds and sometimes going a bit above. It's not completely covers all the edge cases and stuff, but it will cover 80% of the goodness that you need to feel comfortable with Guile. The topics for today, we will talk about REPL. Most probably famous thing about Lisp is REPL, so a cool tool for like interactive development of the stuff and REPL-driven development, of course. After that, we will talk about organizational stuff, how to structure your code, how to structure your models, directories, and all that stuff. A bit boring, but important part. After that, setting up the environment. Probably some of you heard the word geeks, and I will mention it a few times during the talk. The next step will be talking about NREPL. And what is the difference with REPL and why it's important. A bit of topic of the next talk, going beyond Emacs. We will touch it lightly, and I hope the next talk will cover it much more deeply. And highly interactive development environments and development workflows, and of course demos, how to debug Guile programs, and testing and test-driven development. So this is a sneak peek into what will be in the topic. And something about myself. Probably you already know me, but for people who will be watching recording, I'm Andrew Tropin. I work on operating systems and programming languages and do a lot of free and open source software along the way, including those projects. Geeks Home is the stuff for managing your .dot files and home environments, and we will be using it inside our talk for demo. And RDE is GNU Linux distribution based on GNU Geeks Package Manager, and we also will use it for demo. Suitable Testing Library is a library for Guile for writing tests and executing them in REPL and in other way. And Array Guile IDE, the primary thing that I personally use for development and hope after the talk you will use too. Okay. Usually, when you start programming in Lisp, you can think that REPL is the only thing that you need. The overall idea, by the way, who is familiar with REPLs? Okay, I won't be explaining in too much details. So it's just long running process that you like incrementally modify by sending S expressions to the prompt and immediately getting the response, like the value of evaluation of this S expression. So it has immediate feedback and it's fun. I would like to show the demo, but probably all of you saw how REPLs work, so I will skip this part. And we will go to the next part, the REPL questions. When you start on a very simple experimentation, of course, evaluating simple expressions and getting values is fun, comfortable, fast, and all that stuff. But when you build a bigger project, it's a bit hard to manipulate only with smallest expressions. You need files, models, all that structure. And you need to switch between your source code and REPL, copy snippets back and forth. When you need to, for example, get the knowledge where the function that you're using is REPL is defined in your project or in your dependency, you probably need to construct another expression which will extract this information from runtime. Not very fun anymore. like to find function definitions, to persist results, copy stuff back and forth, takes a bit of time. We can do better. And I will show you in a few minutes how to do so. And managing the libraries, dependencies, and all that stuff, it's outside of the REPL scope, and we will cover it soon as well. So REPL, quick and easy, not highly, but interactive, and it's a bit hard to integrate it into your text editor because like of this back and forth jumping. And even if you try to wrap it with some APIs, interacting with STD in REPL, the single synchronous process is a bit tough, and you can see the examples where it fails, but won't be diving too much into it. But when the next time you will be programming in Guile, try to run something, for example, for evaluation, and get some go-to definition functionality working. If you use a usual STD in REPL, it probably will fail. Okay, a bit of organizational part. If you have written in any language which have models, it's often the case that models correspond to the file structure. And usually you name the model the following way. The project, your project name or whatever, your domain or something like distinguishing the model from all other models that possibly exist in the universe. The category and purpose or some other categorization approach, and it corresponds to the file. It will be important a bit later, but for people who coming, it's better to know that it's good to keep this correspondence, the model and file hierarchy. Also, when you write in Guile, it's quite old language, and people used it as a bash script, so you have imperative code, and you just load it into REPL or whatever, and it executes this code line by line. In modern projects, when you have multiple models, and you have such a file which have imperative side effectful code, when it will be loaded by the compiler or interpreter, it will fire those side effects. And this is what we don't want when we like have a big project, the random side effects happening on the loading of the models. That is why every time when you define a model, try to make only top-level definitions of the functions. No side-effectful top-level code. What I mean that, for example, if you write to the file, if you have something that writes to the file, it should be wrapped into the function. So before firing the side effect, you need to call this function. You can call it from CLI, from REPL, from whatever, but try not to use top-level side-effectful forms in your code. It will save you a lot of time. And it will be much funner to work with. And the last thing that I recommend, to make a correspondence between your usual models and models with tests, just by adding a test prefix at the end. And that's basically it about basic organizational structure. After that, you have your source code somewhere in the directory, and you structured your models well, and you put your code well. Now you have another level of directories that groups the code by purpose. For example, your application wraps some C code. So it's better to create a folder with C headers and wrappers, and your folder with scheme source code, which uses those wrappers. Or you have a backend part and frontend part, or you have like something implemented in Guile scheme and something implemented in Guile hood. It's better to keep in different directories. So later, you can, for example, using load path variable, specify where to look for the related source code for a particular part of your project. And we will see the example of this structure just in a bit. It's still a boring part, and I hope you get bored enough, because like later we will have a bit more fun. But it's necessary to talk, because it takes a lot of time from people who are starting to work with Guile. And the last recommendation that I have, to use a few top-level directories. First one is env for storing all the information, scripts, and source code related to the environment, how to set up the environment. Source code is a primary directory where you store your project sources. Tests is a separate directory from primary sources because, for example, when you want to release a project, you would like to be sure that nothing from your tests leaks into your release because you had like some drafts or some incomplete functions or maybe some dirty implementations and helpers. You want to be sure that they are not in the release. That's why we separate them in completely different directory. And dev is a directory for experiments, drafts, and all that things. Okay, let's see how it can work. I will do ls.
Make it a bit larger.
Okay. So this is a top level of some project, and you can see those directory I mentioned. And now let's see how the tree looks like. You can see there's a dev directory. Inside the dev directory, I have a directory which says Guile. That means it's only a Guile source code. If I had a Hoot source code or C source code, it will be like a separate directory nearby. And here you can see a lot of experimentations that I had, some demo files, and all other stuff. The env directory contains quite involved structure. And I will explain it in a minute. But it contains information of how to set up the environment with Gigs. And the primary source code for my project, which is structured, as I mentioned before, name of the project, like category and purpose or whatever categorization way you use. And tests. You can see the test like mimics the structure of the primary source code. But in the model names, I have minus test prefix at the end, which helps, if you keep this convention, which helps to do functions like jumping to corresponding model with tests and loading tests for the current model and all that stuff. Just a simple convention, but simplifies a lot of things. Okay. Now, the load pass. Who knows what load passes? Okay, half of the people, very good. This is basically a place where your compiler looks up for the code. And one of the tasks that you need to do to work on Guile project or many other languages as well is to set up load pass correctly so it can find your source code, it can find dependencies of your source code like libraries, compilers, and all the things that you will use. And I have a quite extensive article. You can look it up later. But what else load passes allows us to do? It allows us to create a profiles, profiles for different needs. Sometimes we run and compile our source code for a release purpose. Sometimes we want to run tests on CI. So we need not only our source code, but also our tests to be available for the compiler. And sometimes we need for development purpose. So we need our test, we need additional drafts, we need maybe some additional dependencies which allows spying on our code and doing some debugging. This mechanism allows to create a profiles for different tasks at hand. How I basically do it in my project. I will show you right here. We have make files. And inside this make files, you can see that I specify different load passes for different purposes. For example, for dev Guile process, I use my source code, primary source code, tests, and my dev with drafts. But for running tests, I don't need those drafts. So I have only tests here. And for release, I use only my primary source code. And I'm sure that nothing from my dev experiments and tests will leak into the final release, which is quite quite handy. Okay, the question. You probably remember in the demo that I didn't show that I ran the Guile. and it spawns a ripple. And the question is where this Guile comes from. The answer is where, which Guile? The answer is simple, from some strange place. Who installed it, how installed it, what version, what dependencies, who knows? The only Richard Stallman, maybe, I'm not sure. It's better to control your environment and all the dependencies that you have for a project. So we need a tool for this. It's not sponsored by Geeks, but unfortunately, I don't know a better option so far to do so. So we need to use Geeks. There is one important thing to note, that installing Geeks and doing initial Geeks pull can be a bit slow and like allocate some time in advance if you want to use Geeks for managing your Guile project. But when you set it up, it's extremely reliable. I have projects that like a few years old, I come back to them and they work perfectly without any issues because they're frozen in time with Geeks and it capability for time traveling. Oops, let's go to the next slide. A bit of good best practices. Good best practices. So how basically things works? Probably I should start from this slide. We installed Geeks somehow. Imagine we could do so. After that, we need to use two things: the Geeks shell and Geeks time machine. Geeks shell allow us to install Guile and, for example, Guile QR code. It spawns a shell. You can see that prompt is different right now, and it has additional character in it. And if I run Guile REPL, and inside this Guile REPL, we'll do use models QR code. Oops. It will work. But if I run Guile outside of this shell, and we'll do the same thing, use models QR code, it will fail. No code for model and QR code. So now we can create a shell and the environment where the Guile and the dependencies are available, and they have some version. Which version they have? I don't know, because the Geeks comes from some random place and it has a random version. And the packages it installs will be of a random version. So to be sure that we use exact versions of Guile and libraries, we will do another trick. We will use Geeks time machine and specify this long path to channel's SCM file. I will show what inside it. And we create the same shell, and voila, nothing works. Geeks time machine minus C, blah, 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 minus, minus shell. Shell Guile. Which Guile? Okay. Shell Guile, Guile QR code. And we have another shell, but right now I know exactly which version of Guile I use and which version of Guile QR code I use. That's because we used time machine and specified channels SCM where I have an exact commit of Geeks I use. So what we did? We pinned it down. We used exact version of Geeks. We instantiated exact version of Geeks, and after that, we created the environment. So treat this process as two-step process. We have some Geeks. From some Geeks, we create an exact version of Geeks, and this exact version of Geeks create the exact environment, which will be reproducible across different installations, people, and servers, or whatever. And another recommendation, treat Geeks as a Guile library and make it respect load passes. You will use it if you do any Geeks related stuff, like managing your channels, configurations, and whatever. Okay, that was fast. Okay, very quick to the demo. The NREPL stuff. NREPL is not a REPL. It's a protocol which allows to communicate with the Guile process asynchronously and do a lot of integrations and cool goodies. Unfortunate that I didn't watch at the time, but let's do some demo. I have a lot of them, and they are fun, but we will do something very simple. Yo. This is Emacs, and we can spawn a Guile and REPL server, connect to it from Emacs, we did it just like this, and start evaluating random expressions. You see, we evaluated display high, it printed high to stdout and returned unspecified value. They have different colors, so you can distinguish it. If we have a few multiple values returned, you will see them here. Now, for example, you know that you have a call with escape continuation function, and you see there is no completion for it. We need to export some model, or import. I don't remember which way we go. And now you see escape continuation completion appeared. Cool. Now let's run infinite loop. And while this infinite loop running, we want to, our completion to work again. And it still works. Very cool. In some other places, it won't work. And we executed infinite loop, but actually we didn't want. We want to continue evaluate other stuff. Let's interrupt this infinite loop. So good so far. Anybody heard about continuations? Cool. It's very, very, very tricky computer science stuff. But but what it allows to do? Like inside this infinite loop, in another infinite loop, I save a current continuation, and this is thing that I can resume from, interrupting our infinite loop. And you see there's a call to cont. Cont is a saved continuation. We can evaluate. Oops. The value you see is the continuation is returned. And we can run this continuation again. And if you didn't notice, it continued this infinite loop from the point it stopped before. You see? We was at this place, and we started again from this place. What else? We can call the continuation again with a different value, which is read number. And at the bottom of the screen, you see a prompt. It asks for the value from stdin. And I can input some number into it. And you see, it continued this infinite loop, but started with much larger number. And now we will go to the next demo. Next demo is related to stack traces. One of the big pains in Guile development is debugging. And when you get exception, it's hard to understand where the things went wrong. The reasons I explained in the article, actually useful stack traces that you can find in the internet. But let's imagine that instead of the number, we gave a string or something invalid. And you can see that I got an exception and stack trace on the right. And I can jump around. And I immediately jumped to the place where it failed. And it says that I is false instead of some number. So somewhere here in string to number converted our value from readline into false. That's probably because we used a string instead of a number. So we found out the problem, and we can restart the loop and use number next time. But maybe it's not that impressive. The impressive thing happens when you have a huge project of I don't know, thousands of the line. And this is my personal configuration, which is connected to RD GNU Linux distribution. And there is a problem in it. Let's try to build it.
Yeah, you got a few more minutes.
OK. And you see something that's not very helpful. From this error message, it's hard to understand what is going on. But if we run Ares and REPL server, connect to it, and try to evaluate the configuration, you will get a very obvious tech trace which says, expecting pair, but got a string. Pair is actually a list in scheme, so it expected a list, not a pair, but whatever. And you can jump through the stack trace, and SSH key question mark failed, and it failed inside feature GnuPG. And here I see that SSH keys is a list of one string, but it should be a list of lists of string. And after that fixed, I can evaluate the model, and it evaluated correctly. And I restart the rebuild of my home environment, and it will work perfectly. And another small thing that I will show you in a moment. This is Emacs. I know that not everyone uses it, and like it's understandable. The good thing that our IDE consists of two parts, Ares part, which is an REPL server, and Array part, which is a client. And here, like a few hours ago, Ilya, the fellow hacker, sent me a video. He opened his NeoVim and used a generic REPL client and connected to Ares backend. And he get all the goodies of IDE inside his NeoVim as well. So you can see he can evaluate arbitrary expression and get immediate results. And it all works through the array that we implemented for our IDE. OK, and on this wonderful note, let me find my presentation. Oops, sorry. Here. I will jump to the end. I will say that I love teaching computer science and PLT to tinker and tackle hard problems. And those tools I mentioned today make it actually fun. And I hope it will make some fun for you.
A hand for the amazing Andrew Tropin.
I think we have time for one question. One question, please. Only one. So cool talk. No questions. OK? I did. Yeah, OK. There's a step debugger in NREPL. We looked at it. Moreover, we did some work during RD internship this year with Noel Lopez and Nicholas Graves and made a proof of concept of debugger for Ares. It works. It has like evaluation in a point of failure where the exception happened. And we also had a very bare-bone proof of concept of step debugger as well. It's in development, but maybe someday you will see it. OK, thank you very much.
Get the microphone.